Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and stayed there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return to the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me and for your sake that the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled with civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, the people that you have the most difficulty with in being sympathetic for, or the people you are least likely to love, or the people who so clearly, in your estimation, don't deserve God's favor, those are the people who often receive God's mercy and favor and forgiveness in the Bible. Like who? Who specifically receives God's mercy, favor, and forgiveness? Well, week before last, Chad Bird talked about some of those Old Testament people who God forgave and favored, despite serious character deficits. Like Jacob, who swindles his brother Esau and deceived his father Isaac, and yet became a patriarch of the Jewish people. Or King David, who slept with Bathsheba, the wife of his friend, Uriah, and then when she got pregnant and David's cover-up failed, David had Uriah killed. And yet David was promised that the Messiah would be his descendant. He was even called a man after God's own heart. Hard to believe. Or the story from the book of Ruth we just read about the family from Bethlehem who was forced to leave Israel in the midst of a famine and live in the land of the Moabites. The two Jewish sons grew up and married Moabite wives. But then the father died, and both sons died, leaving 3 widows. Widows left with absolutely nothing and no way to support themselves. That was not a good time or culture in which to be a widow. One young Moabite widow returned to her own people, but the other, Ruth, out of devotion to her mother-in-law, Naomi, went back to Bethlehem, back to Israel with Naomi. And the last line of our Old Testament lesson this morning says, "And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them." Why were they stirred? Because the whole town pitied them. What are they doing here? How do they expect to survive? But the book of Ruth tells the story of God's mercy toward them. An even more shocking example of God's mercy, favor, and forgiveness is found in the New Testament, John chapter 8, when a woman who'd been caught in the very act of adultery was dragged into the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, naked and ashamed before Jesus and a leering crowd of men. Quoting Leviticus 20, members of the ruling council pointed out that the law demanded that such women be stoned to death. And using this woman's shame as an opportunity to discredit Jesus in front of the crowd, they demanded of him, So what do you say? And the story ends with Jesus speaking scandalous words of mercy and forgiveness to a woman whose sin and guilt was apparent to everybody. Read all about it in John chapter 8. Or read Luke 7, where Jesus and his entourage had been invited to Simon the Pharisee's house for dinner. To Simon's credit, he wanted to make up his own mind about Jesus. Was Jesus really the Messiah, as the common people insisted, or some kind of interloper, a fraud, as most Pharisees maintained? Well, as dinner was progressing, an embarrassing interruption occurred when a known prostitute walked off the street and made a beeline for Jesus. She knelt before him, pouring perfumed lotion on his feet, weeping, overcome with gratitude for the words of mercy and acceptance she'd heard him speak that day. While horrified at her presence in his house, Simon the Pharisee consoled himself with the thought, "Well, at least I know now that Jesus is not the Messiah. The Messiah would know what kind of woman was touching him. Jesus can't be the Messiah." And at that point, Jesus turned to Simon and said to him, "Simon, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other owed him 50. Neither could pay him back. So the moneylender forgave the debts of both men. Tell me, which debtor loved the moneylender more?" Simon said, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You are correct," answered Jesus. The debtor loved the merciful moneylender as the prostitute loved Jesus. Which brings us to today's gospel lesson in Luke 17, where Jesus was confronted by 10 lepers. Because they were not allowed to be close to non-lepers, they cried out to Jesus to be healed from a distance, begging Jesus to have mercy on them. Leprosy is a horrible disease. In those days, when there was no medication to combat leprosy, victims were subject to hideous lesions, skin growths, nerve damage, and eventually the literal rotting away of living flesh. There was no cure. It was a slow, painful death. But maybe worst of all, leprosy was contagious. So a diagnosis of leprosy meant a life of isolation from family and loved ones, segregation from the rest of society. It was perhaps the worst fate anyone could imagine. But these lepers were very, very fortunate. Jesus healed them and sent them to the local priest who would verify their healing and proclaim them clean and acceptable to rejoin the community in worship and in daily activity. These former lepers were ecstatic, and yet only one came back to thank Jesus. Why this one? Well, it's interesting. He was a Samaritan, a non-Jew, a foreigner. And not only that, but a Samaritan foreigner who was generally hated by the Jews. Apparently, his condition as a leper overrode his status as a Samaritan, and he was accepted by the Jewish lepers. But as a Samaritan, he had a heightened awareness, a keener sense that he had done nothing to earn his incredible healing that he'd received from Jesus. He was completely undeserving of his good fortune, and that recognition fueled his gratitude. You know, All of Scripture is comprised of law and gospel. The law tells you what you should do. And the law message here is to be like the Samaritan, to be aware of what you've received from Christ, to be grateful, to be thankful. Read Colossians 3:15. That's the law. The gospel tells you what God has done for you. So where's the gospel in this story? Well, the gospel, as it often is shocking, even scandalous in this story. Let me ask you, the 9 lepers who never came back to tell Jesus thank you, was their healing rescinded? Did they break out in leprosy again? No. Well, doesn't that chafe you just a little bit? Isn't that kind of irritating? That all those other lepers never even said thank you. Clearly, they don't deserve the gift that Jesus bestowed upon them. What's their problem? Their problem is they're a lot like us. Here's the gospel. Like the ungrateful lepers, we've been given an unspeakably wonderful gift of mercy, favor, and forgiveness that we will never deserve and so often take for granted. But still, God's mercy and favor and forgiveness is not contingent upon your gratitude or your attitude or your personal righteousness. It's a pure gift from God. All your sins have been nailed to the cross of Christ. So God is inclined to forgive, to look favorably on Jacob and David, or the woman caught in adultery, or the prostitute at Simon the Pharisee's house. God even looks favorably upon you and forgives you, even when you lack gratitude, even when you're angry at God. Though you be faithless, God remains faithful. You're loved by God, who hears you when you pray, who comes closest to you at the very lowest and worst times of your life, who never leaves you or forsakes you. And he promises you a forever home in heaven with him. Despite your failings, Jesus has imputed to you, credited to you, his own perfect righteousness. So when God looks at you, he sees only the perfect righteousness of Christ. What an absolutely amazing gift. And it's yours. So you can relax. You can be at peace. You're not alone in this world. You are befriended by, you are loved by, you are cherished by God himself. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, though we are ungrateful for what you have done for us, we thank you that when we are faithless, you are faithful toward us. Lord, again, we ask that you would cause us to recognize what you have done for us and fill us with gratitude before you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.